The global cost of cybercrime is expected to reach $10.5 trillion annually by 2025. Threats are targeting nation states, companies, and individuals, and only 10% of this total market has any cybersecurity solution in place. Welcome to I See Your Trade. I'm your host, Pamela Ambler. Soon we'll be joined by our special guest, Amandana Javahari, General Manager, Security Business, Microsoft Asia. Then later, our resident expert, Oxford Economics economist Alex Holmes, to unpack the size and scale of this growing cybersecurity threat. First, though, Microsoft is the second biggest technology company in the world and is the world's largest provider of cybersecurity services. Microsoft is engaged by some of the world's biggest companies and governments, including the U.S. military, in a fight against an invisible threat that is engineered to inflict maximum damage. I See Your Trade is brought to you by IC Markets, a leading high-performance trading provider. Trade up to IC Markets. The rise of AI, particularly generative AI, has had a significant impact on the cybersecurity landscape. How does the meteoric rise of AI in the cybersecurity space affect businesses, and what are the potential implications and challenges they may face?
I would say, like any other technology advancement, there are a lot of benefits to organization and human as a whole, but we also see risks associated with these advancements. I remember when cloud was the new shiny thing, everybody was saying, how secure is cloud? And everybody was really concerned about moving to the cloud because of the security concerns. And now, of course, we see organizations and enterprises moving to the cloud because it's more secure. So I would say AI is something that we've been using and it's been around for a while. But the generative AI, we see that it's going to introduce some new risks and attack methods, a new attack surface to the organizations. For example, there would be new ways of malware, the phishing campaigns. And also in general, we see the generative AI is making attackers as well as a defender way more efficient and quick. So we also need to be able to respond to it.
Now, is there any currently any line of defense against these AI generated threats that you just mentioned?
Definitely. So you probably know about Microsoft Copilot. That's our generative AI security capabilities that we announced back in March. Security Copilot is a combination of our partnership with OpenAI, a GPT-4 advanced AI model, plus Microsoft Cybersecurity advanced model that we created. And of course, you've also probably heard about our threat intelligence, the 64 trillion signal that Microsoft has access to just due to the virtue of the business we are and the telemetry we are getting from our capabilities across the globe. And then we combine that with 8,500 humans we have across the board, including our incident response team, our digital crime unit, our CDOC, which is our security operations center on how Microsoft protects itself. All of that intelligence and information, they come together to help our customers really become more productive and efficient on how they would detect, respond, and remediate a security incident and security threats. So we look at authentication through cloud. We look at emails, attachments. We look at, Xbox, which is one of the largest attack surfaces actually on the consumer side. And using a natural language, you basically can ask questions and Copilot knows the context, goes and find the answer for you. And then also it can write a script. For example, you can say, was there any phishing attack in my environment today? It can go and find whether there was a phishing attack, how did it start? If there was a phishing campaign, who clicked on that email? Was anybody who was victimized? And if there was any real incident? It can, in seconds, give you all that details. And then it can just make the security analyst way more efficient. Yeah, and another very worrying development in this space is the emergence of what Microsoft refers to as the Cybercrime as a Service, or CaaS. Are there really people selling cybercrime subscriptions as a service?
Yeah, we've seen an increase in cybercrime as a service, and there are like many instances, but some of them that we've seen in our recent report is, for example, the email business compromise or ransomware as a service. And yes, there is a model for those that they're actually selling the kits that are very advanced and automated. It's very easy for even a junior attacker these days to get access to these kits, buy them, run them, and attack organizations.
Now, this using business email, one of the cybercrime as a service risk is this business email that you just described. Some of the numbers are really staggering. We're talking about hundreds of millions of threats.
Yeah, so from, I would say, 2019 to 2022, which was the latest report that we had, we saw a 38% increase in those compromises. And we are talking about 35 million of those attempted attacks that we've seen, which would be about 156,000 attacks per day, attempted attacks per day.
And for people holding cryptocurrencies, how can you best protect your assets from cyber criminals?
So we've seen an emergence of what's called Cryber. And Cryber basically steals information from the non-custodial cryptocurrency wallet, which is also called hot wallet. So hot wallet actually is stored on your device. So which means it makes it easier to get access to cryptographic keys, which is needed for doing a transaction. Right. So if the bad actor gets access to the hot wallet, that means they can easily move your money from your wallet to their own wallet. And also, as you know, the blockchain transactions are not reversible, even if the user's consent and knowledge is not there. It's still the transaction is done, and it's also not like credit card that you can, you know, return your money back if it's a fraudulent activity. And so it's actually very serious. So what we recommend to users is to make sure they're protecting their devices, and they can use modern antiviruses which blocks the Cryber and other malicious files. So there are controls available for the users that they can use to protect themselves.
Or use a cold wallet.
Or, yeah, exactly. Just use your cash.
And let's move on to one of the biggest cybersecurity changes since the pandemic, which is the proliferation of internet-facing devices. So not only are more people using devices remotely, managers are using iPhones and computers to remotely connect to what used to be highly secure servers inside a physical building. So how is this changing the risk of cyber threats?
So I would say when the pandemic happened, all of a sudden the IT and security department had to go from, you know, mostly people being in the office to being 100% remote. And then, of course, now hybrid is our reality, and probably it's going to stay the reality. And there are even some organizations that they're going already 100% remote. It used to be like, for example, on the operational technology side, there was no access to the network, no access to the cloud, and it was this perception that they're safe. And now, of course, in that OT environment, you have a smart TV. You have a smart controller for your air conditioner. As you said, like there are devices that are IoT devices. And the challenges with the IoT devices is that they're not necessarily designed to be secure, patched, and controlled remotely. So that's definitely a risk.
And some of your data shows that the biggest risk since the pandemic is through remote management devices.
For sure, yes. We've also seen that in our latest report that I believe there are about 100 million attacks in May of 2022, which is targeted to those remote and device management. So definitely. And for us, what we recommend to customer is to first make sure they have the basic security hygiene. And you will be surprised that a lot of enterprises, they still don't have a lot of those basic hygiene. So that's usually our recommendation to our customers. Things like multi-factor authentication, things like patching, making sure everything is up to date. Thinking of their framework for security from the zero trust perspective and zero trust principles, which is really bringing us back to basics of security. Assume breach. It's not about if you're going to get breached, but it's about when you're going to get breached. So some of those basic hygienes we believe can actually protect customers 98% from the attacks.
So before we dive deeper, let's turn to Alex Holmes from Oxford Economics. Alex, can you try to put some context around the scale and the scope of the growing cyber threat?
Thanks, Pamela. Well, we have a chart here that shows just the scale of the problem. So when you mention to most people global organized crime, what's usually conjured up in the mind is Pablo Escobar and global drug cartels. But actually, cybercrime is a far, far bigger cost to the global economy than all of the illegal narcotics trade in the world combined. We have this data here from Cybersecurity Ventures that shows the cost could rise to about $10 trillion by the year 2025. And that's more than the cost to the world economy of natural disasters in any given year. So there's obviously a really big space that criminals are moving into, but it's also there's a lot of opportunity for innovative companies to invest in developing ways of curtailing these crimes and solving what is a truly global problem.
Yeah, and who are the front runners solving this problem right now?
Undoubtedly, the market leader is Microsoft, who Mandiant works for. The runners-up are the big incumbent technology companies such as IBM, Cisco, and Oracle. But we've also seen some astonishingly fast growth in just pure-play cybersecurity firms, such as Palo Alto Networks and CrowdStrike. All companies are going to be spending more on cybersecurity in the future. There was a survey done in 2022 that showed that most enterprises' IT departments spent about 10% of their IT budget on cybersecurity, but some were spending 20% or more. Then you've also got the growing cost of cybersecurity insurance, which by some measures has grown tenfold in just the last 5 years.
Thank you for that perspective, Alex, as always. So coming back to our discussion, what is the average cost to a business if they experience a cyber attack?
I would say it's very hard to answer that question from the cost perspective because it really differs. The attacks and the impact can range from, for example, the business email compromise that we've been talking about earlier. And that can be really the financial impact for the individual, which is being a victim, or it can be the whole disruption to the supply chain and basically taking the organization at the hostage, right? But also it's a reputational risk. When that happens, gaining the trust of the customers and partners is something which is a lot of times really hard for organization. And if the customers don't trust you, they're not going to invest in you, they're not going to commit to your capabilities, or they're not going to buy your products. So to me, that reputational damage can be something that you can't even put a price on.
Exactly. Now, and finally, just to end on this episode, what measures should companies and individuals take to protect themselves against cyber criminals?
One is on the people, processes, and technology. So, you know, we need to look at security holistically. As an industry, for the last couple of decades, we've done a great job of developing these products that they're really good at solving a single problem, but they're not talking to each other. So the way we think about security is that you need to have a holistic end-to-end approach, a platform approach to security, so you can actually really detect, respond, and remediate the security challenges that we are facing. And then evolving, because it's not something you put in place once and it's going to protect you. And then the second piece is on the talent shortage we have in the industry.
And that's something that I think the number today is 3.5 million shortage of talent in security. The problem we are trying to solve with security is very diverse. So we do need diverse talents in order to really solve the challenges we have. Also, if we don't build a pipeline from diverse talents, there's absolutely no way for us to really solve this problem. So for me, is really how can we build a pipeline of diverse backgrounds, race, ethnicity, gender, etc. How can we educate them, invest in them? How can we find job for them and then retain them in jobs is something which is very important. So and that's something that Microsoft really is investing in and something very close to my heart.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your insights today around cybersecurity.
My pleasure. Thank you.
A big thank you to our special guest, Mandana Javahari, General Manager, Security Business of Microsoft Asia, and our resident expert, Alex Holmes from Oxford Economics. Thank you both. If you learned anything from this episode, it's time to change your passwords, never leave your devices unattended, and keep your operating systems up to date. Also, kind of obvious, but if it looks like a spam email, for goodness sake, don't click the link. Thanks for tuning in to episode 11 of ICR Trade. ICR Trade is brought to you by IC Markets, a leading high-performance trading provider. Trade up to IC Markets. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time, where we'll be asking, could the dominance of the US dollar be under threat?